Hello, and welcome to this episode of Stats, the podcast where we share the accomplishments of the Department of Surgery at Baylor Scott & White Medical Center in Temple, Texas. I'm your host, Dr. Lonnie Gentry. The Stats podcast is sponsored by Dr. Harry Papakonstantino, the chair of the Department of Surgery. With this episode, we discuss the role and benefits of APPs, especially in the Department of Surgery. To discuss this topic, I am joined by Stacy Hicks. Stacy has been a certified physician assistant for 16 years and has been at Baylor Scott & White Temple for 13 years. He is the APP administrator for the Department of Surgery. Stacy, thanks for being part of this podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
What is an advanced practice provider or APP?
Well, an advanced practice provider is a healthcare professional who has an advanced training in medical care. These would be our nurse practitioners, physician assistants, who are now considered physician associates, certified registered nurse anesthetists, certified nurse midwives, and clinical nurse specialists.
Can you give me an overview of the history of APPs?
So the history behind the APP profession started with the nurse practitioners who emerged back in the 1960s as a response to the growing need for primary care providers. The role was developed by nurses who sought to expand their scope of practice to include diagnosing and treating common health conditions, prescribing medication, providing health education and counseling. The first nurse practitioner program was established in 1965 at the University of Colorado by Loretta Ford, RN, and Dr. Henry Silver. The first physician assistant program was actually established in 1965 at Duke University by Dr. Eugene A. Stead, who put together the inaugural class, which consisted of four former Navy Medical Corps men with prior medical training. These early PAs graduated from the Duke University PA program on October 6, 1967. And one tidbit I like to throw in there, because I saw the Baylor name in there, was beginning in January 1971, the U.S. Army produced eight classes of physician assistants at 30 students per class through the Academy of Health Science Brook Medical Center, which is academically accredited by Baylor University. So there's a tie in there somewhere.
There you go. That's right. Why do we have APPs in the medical profession? Why not stick with doctors and nurses?
Well, you know, initially APPs were introduced into the medical field due to the shortage of physicians. They play a crucial role in healthcare and complementing the work of doctors and nurses. APPs also increases the access to care and provide comprehensive care, especially in underserved areas, which improves overall efficiency and patient throughput. Through team-based care, rather than replacing doctors and nurses, APPs collaborate with them. They work as part of a team, contributing their unique skills while respecting the expertise of other professionals to deliver coordinated and efficient patient care. This overall improves patient outcomes. APPs are extremely valuable contributors to patients' well-being.
What professions are included in the APP designation at Baylor Scott & White Health?
Physician assistants, nurse practitioners, certified registered nurse anesthetists, certified nurse midwives, clinical nurse specialists.
Are there any other designations not mentioned?
Not recognized as advanced professional practitioners, no.
So Baylor Scott & White incorporates all of the recognized APP professions.
That is correct.
You are a certified physician assistant. How does your title differ from physician assistant?
My certification basically means that I comply with the National Commission on Certification of Physician Assistants regulations. Therefore, I would be allowed to use the PAC initials. Every state requires physician assistants to at least get certified initially, but there are about 22 states that don't require them to be certified once their certification expires. So then at that point, they become just physician assistant or PA, and they lose the C for the certification. Texas is a state that does require us to have a certification, and I think it's a great thing to have because it keeps us up on the new and evolving literature and things, and it allows us to provide better patient care.
So all physician assistants have been certified at some point. The PAC part of your title, the certified part, is an ongoing certification.
That is correct. Initially, it used to be every 6 years that we would have to get our certification, but now the National Commission of Physician Assistants allows us to do it every 10 years.
Tell us about the path you took to become a physician assistant.
Well, initially, I worked in a pharmacy when I was in 10th grade. And I worked there till I graduated, and then I joined the military. I joined the Air Force and became a flight medic. And through the flight medic, I worked with the physician assistant along with a flight surgeon, and therefore they encouraged me and pushed me to want to do more. I did 4 years in the Air Force as an active duty person, and then when I got out, I did 2 years reserve, and I still was at that point in my life where I think I wanted to go further, just didn't know where I wanted to go. And at that point, I went to medical assistant school initially, and I worked for that for a little bit. And then I went on to become a physician assistant after that.
How many years were you in school for that?
2.5 years.
Do most physician assistants have nursing backgrounds?
No, some of them do. I have a lot of friends that are prior nursing prior to becoming physician assistants. And some who have a clear path right out of college, They go to physician assistant programs.
Mm-hmm. About how many APPs work in the Department of Surgery here at Temple? And what are their titles?
About 61 wow. APPs in the Department of Surgery, and they're physician assistants and nurse practitioners.
The Division of Plastic Surgery includes a number of APPs. What is their role in the division? What responsibilities do they have, duties, et cetera?
They have a lot of job responsibilities. They cover a multitude of ages, patient ages from a couple of days old to from newborns up to 100-year-old patients. They do everything from breast cancer reconstruction, head and neck cancer reconstruction, cosmetic patients, and trauma as well. They round on patients. They participate in surgery and provide not only inpatient, outpatient, and postoperative care for patients as well.
Mm-hmm. What's a typical day for an APP?
It all depends. We actually have two designations for APPs in the Department of Surgery. We have a non-operative and an operative APP. The operative APPs, usually the day starts probably about 5:30 to 6 o'clock in the morning, where they start rounding on patients in the hospital and getting prepped for surgery and in OR all day and taking care of patients after they get out of the operating room. The non-operative APPs provide clinical care for patients. And at that point, they usually start about 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, and they're usually there till about 5 p.m. every day.
Baylor Scott & White has this statement on their website. Advanced practice providers are essential to our plans for the future of healthcare delivery. Advanced practice providers are part of the Baylor Scott & White Health Medical Group with voting members on their board. They speak with a clear, progressive voice that's heard and respected on matters that impact patient care, on optimizing the AP provider role, and on developing market-leading compensation plans aligned with their physician colleagues. That sounds to me like Baylor Scott & White is fully committed to incorporating the APP role across the system. Would you agree?
Yes, I totally agree with that statement. Our goal is to increase the APP numbers significantly across the system, but the numbers increasing, it would decrease burnout, increase job satisfaction, and improve the quality of care provided to patients.
What is your role as the APP Administrator for Surgical Services?
Well, it's a very complex role, but however, one of my jobs is I tell everyone I'm a servant leader, so therefore I am there to make the APPs as happy as I can make them, but I provide direction, administrative leadership for all APPs, even APP managers who I work closely with to help implement key initiatives and tactics for the other APPs within the surgical service line, recruiting and onboarding, quality metrics, leadership, and coaching.
What do you see as the future of APPs in healthcare?
Well, the future for APPs in healthcare is a promising one because it's driven by technological advancements and evolving patient needs. I picked up an article where it stated it's projected that by 2030, approximately 67% of the practitioners that will be added to the workforce will be APPs.
Wow.
This trend is driven by factors such as changes in healthcare delivery, resident work hours reductions, and projected physician shortages. As the demand for healthcare services continue to rise, APPs will be expected to play an increasing vital role in patient care.
Stacy, thanks so much for joining me today and discussing this important role in healthcare today.
Thank you very much for having me.
That concludes this episode of Stats. Be on the lookout for the next episode of Sharing the Accomplishments of Temple Surgery.